97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Second Amendment Radio in the great outdoors. My name is Bill Matthews, and that is Mark Cox, Carl Middleman.
Hello.
And we have a holiday edition of Second Amendment Radio in the great outdoors. This very first segment is brought to you by Chuck's Boots. We finally can tell you the news. You could win a Polaris General 1000 Deluxe side-by-side just for being a loyal customer. Go to chucksboots.com and enter your first name, last name, phone number, and email. No purchase necessary to enter. See website for terms and conditions, but a new side-by-side would be pretty sweet in the driveway.
I would think it would. What a way to celebrate the nation's independence.
Perfect.
Now, you know, the real 4th of July is the 2nd of July. Oh. Benjamin Franklin said it should have been the 2nd of July. And he got into a fight with somebody and they said, fourth.
You got to wonder how these things came to be sometimes. Thank you, Carl, for insight.
You can share that with anyone you know.
His brain is full of those things.
Stupid stuff like that.
Full of something for sure. The holiday weekend.
Hey, yeah, it's gonna be fantastic. People are going to be out and about, you know, celebrating their freedom. Remember a couple of months ago when we had to have the President of the United States saying, well, with any luck, if you listen to my advice, you might be able to have your immediate family over for a barbecue.
Right.
On the 4th. You might be able to have your family over. And I'm thinking to myself, I don't need your advice. I don't need your permission to do that. I'm an American. So here we are.
Anyway.
And how the world has changed in just those few months.
True. But, you know, look at the differences. Even in our area, Bo, and I've noticed this weekend. I was looking to see, speaking of fireworks, and we're going to be talking more about those coming up. We're going to talk to a guy who describes himself as a hobbyist, but he's really quite the professional when it comes to setting up these fireworks displays and everything. I was checking out online where I could go to potentially watch fireworks on the 4th. There's a bunch of opportunities, but depending on which community you're going to, you don't have all the fun tivities that go along with it,
right,
like the
right.
booths and the vendors and all that. Like if you come to the city, you're going to have more trouble finding that. St. Charles County, I mean, they're having a full-blown festival in their river park there right in downtown St. Charles.
Right by the old town, right?
Yeah, they're going to have the vendors. They're going to have everything down there. They're going to have fireworks later. I mean, so you can pick and choose where you're going this weekend, depending on what you're looking for exactly.
Well, last year I went. My wife wanted to go. My wife loves fireworks. I'm give or take whatever. But we had to go down to Jefferson County. They were the only ones that were doing anything at the VA. And it was American Legion. It was a fantastic show, and everyone was spaced out, and it was outside, and I would go back down there, south.
Yeah, they've got a big plan for the weekend as well, and regardless of when you're listening to the show, it is happening. There will be fireworks. What I like doing is I like finding a high elevation, and like over in the Bluff area over in Illinois where you can see the metro looking west and see all the fireworks that are going off in neighborhoods and, of course, downtown or, you know, different areas. There's some elevation points that I usually search out.
That's great.
That's kind of a cool perspective.
And I'll just throw this in there as a little bit of self-promotion for my friend Ryan Wiggins.
Yeah.
He is programming 2 hours that will air Sunday night from 8 to 10.
4th of July.
On 97.1 FM Talk, and it's just patriotic music. So if you're going to do something like that where you're some distance away from the fireworks and you can't hear whatever music they're playing, mm-hmm. you could have this on in the background on your Odyssey.com app or on your radio, and you can listen to patriotic American music in the background while the fireworks are going on.
And you can actually rewind it because
you can.
If there's stuff on Monday, you just rewind it, go back to Ryan's show and listen.
You know, I got the high elevation tip from a video I saw last year that was from, I think, the Vantage Point of the Hollywood sign in California, and it was overlooking LA, and it looked like a war was going on.
So that's interesting, because in LA they're so worried about fires all the time. I read this story the other day. They're having, you know, we hear about these silly gun buyback programs, is always fascinating to me, because how can you buy back something I didn't get from you in the first place? It's called confiscation.
Right.
Except
you just turn in your old guns that don't work, or you want a new model.
Okay, well, it's silly. But anyway, in L.A., they actually, in one of the wards there, were having a fireworks buyback deal the other day where you could, like, if you, I guess you discovered that your kid had a stash of fireworks because they're illegal, you could take them down, turn them in, no questions asked, supposedly, and they'd give you a gift card.
Oh, my goodness.
For turning, because they're trying to avoid that to prevent fires and stuff.
That makes sense. But during COVID last year, Mark, it was crazy. It's on YouTube, so of course you can go back and take a look at it, but it was just... It was nuts.
I have a friend who lives in Clayton. I'm not going to out her by saying her name, but she lives on the 26th floor in Clayton, and she faces east, and she just has people over. They sit on her deck on the 26th floor, and you can see all the way from Alton all the way down to South County, and you just see them go off everywhere.
Oh, I'll bet you do. I bet it's beautiful. Are you invited?
Maybe not now that I just talked about
it. Yeah, that's a problem. That's why you didn't mention her name.
Get on the rooftop.
We know. Hey, yeah. I don't know if you guys saw this or not, but did you see what happened in San Jose this week regarding the Second Amendment?
No.
Boy, I mean, California gun owners have been just pinched for years because of the insanity of the people that have been voted into office out there and run that place, from Gavin Newsom right on down. In San Jose, California, they have now voted to tax gun owners. And if you don't pay the tax, they will come into your house and confiscate your weapons.
What?
Is that legal?
San Jose. Well, it's going to go to court. Mm-hmm. I'll guarantee you that. But here's the story. Gun owners in San Jose will face a yearly tax and be required to carry additional insurance after their city council voted unanimously to impose these new measures. And the reason they're doing it, their excuse for doing it, their argument for doing it, is that they're trying to recoup some of the money they have to spend every year on shootings for law enforcement and first responders and all that. They're of course, it must be the legal gun owners that are the reason criminals go out and commit crimes. So we're going to stick it up their rear ends over this. It's ridiculous.
How in the world did these politicians get to where they are with the thinking like this? And this is just guns. I mean, we could talk about any category of what the government runs, but this is ridiculous.
Social, progressive, cradle to grave, top-down government control liberals. That's who they are. That's how they operate. It's their mindset. They operate in a political vacuum out there in liberal San Jose, California. It's the city council doing it. I mean, it's not like the state's trying to do it, but you can bet, you know, Gun Owners of America, probably the NRA, Second Amendment Foundation, they're going to be all over this. They're going to find somebody who's been fined or had a weapon confiscated, and they're going to take this to court, and the Supreme Court of the United States, if it gets that far, is going to smack them down. This is why this next court session is so important. The last one ended this past week. In the fall, they're going to take up a very important gun rights issue, probably the most important one they've considered since the Heller decision, and they need to smack down these states, these liberal states and cities, and let them know that when it says shall not be infringed, that's what they intended.
Unbelievable. This is just crazy. You know, and you're talking about headlines like that. It brought up a video that I heard, and you actually played a portion of it on your show this week, of Lauren Boebert, who is about 4 foot nothing, and she is a force to be reckoned with. And she, I loved how she started off sarcastic. I don't know exactly what the clip is, but can we play that real quick?
I think the first change you need to make is trust your people. They obviously don't trust their citizens to be able to protect themselves and defend themselves, and criminals know that. And so criminals are absolutely running these streets and running rampant, and crime is surging because of this. And they see the Democrats actually promote these riots and looting and robbing of small businesses, burning down of small businesses. And you have then Senator Kamala Harris even bailing criminals out of the streets. So if you really want to reduce any kind of crime, let's start with the laws that are already on the books and enforce those.
She is so smart.
And
she, I saw her on the floor of Congress, and she was amazing. She started off with sarcasm. I'm just a fan. She's a smart gal and a great heart.
Yeah, I've always enjoyed listening to her. They're going to have a hard time in 2022 if they continue down this path of what we're seeing, not only out of the House of Representatives, what the Senate's trying to do.
Right.
The defund the police thing cost them seats in the last election. And we're seeing it even right here in the city of St. Louis, for example. They're about to pass a budget that's cutting millions of dollars out of the police budget.
Mark, don't you find it amazing how they, just in the last 7 to 10 days, how they've shifted the narrative to now blaming the GOP on the defunding the police program? It's like, no. The GOP was against all the other crap that was in it. Not about that. It just blows me away.
It's a very Trumpian move.
You know what? It's so in your face. It's right before our very eyes. Crazy.
Yeah. It is crazy. And of course, you know, the folks in law enforcement have to deal with that firsthand. And your friend, Sheriff Dave Marshak, Bo, is going to join us here in the next segment to talk a little bit about
that. He's a great guy. So if you're out camping or floating and you're listening to the program, share with your friends. We'll talk to the sheriff of Jefferson County coming up next on this.
We will do it. You're listening to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. I'm Mark Cox. That's Bo Matthews, along with Carl Middleman. We're back in just a minute.
Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors. I'm Bo Matthews. Mark Cox, Carl Middleman,
pew pew,
is here. And this segment is brought to you by Razorback Armory. They are your gun concierge on Manchester Road, a half mile east of 270 in De Pere. If you've never been, oh boy, you are missing out. So don't miss out. Get to Razorback Armory. Find details, directions, and everything at RazorbackArmory.com. Mark, how you doing?
I'm good. Happy Independence Day.
Yeah.
Weekend,
yeah,
huh? Yeah, this is fantastic.
Looking forward to this next segment because there's a lot to cover with the Sheriff of Jefferson County, who I'm going to say has become a pretty fast friend in the last couple of years. And we broke bread. We've had great candid conversation. I wanted to get him on for the holiday, mainly to talk about do I need to keep my speed down, because speed traps are a real thing sometimes. but I want to start off, Sheriff, with an update on Deputy Zach Faulkner. He was shot in Cedar Hill in the big standoff that went on. You have informed me that he has actually come to the Sheriff's Department to visit. How did that go?
Yeah, both for asking. Appreciate it. Zach's doing much better. He continues to move slow. Doesn't have all the energy that he needs, particularly to be the father and the husband that he wants to be. But he is making improvements. The good news is his wife doesn't have to pack that bullet wound every day with gauze. And
wow.
Things are getting better from him. He's slowly recovering. And it's going to be quite some time before he makes it back to full duty. But he did swing by the office yesterday and said hello to everybody and got out of the house for a few minutes. It was great to see him.
Well, Sheriff, give him our best. Mark Cox here. And, we talk a lot on the radio station, both of them, in fact, about our support for law enforcement and the challenge your men and women go through on a daily basis. This just kind of drives home. I mean, any incident could end up being the one where something like this happens, and your folks always have to be on guard.
Mark, I appreciate those comments, and as a avid listener to your station, I listen to you in the morning. I know what kind of pro-law enforcement and advocate you are, so I appreciate that from you, and glad to join you.
I wanted to ask what kind of round was he shot with? And as I understand from that day that I saw, because I talked to you the day before that incident happened, and I saw you on a press conference the next morning, wasn't he shot below his bulletproof vest? Is that correct?
Yeah, from what we can surmise from the whole incident, we're still doing an after action and debriefing. But that round actually was recovered from within him, had ricocheted either off from the ground or from one of our armored vehicles or both. You know, the subject was shooting multiple rounds for a long time. These officers were not carelessly or recklessly acting, putting themselves in danger. This was one of those situations in which the suspect just got lucky.
Wow.
Sheriff, how do you guys handle that in your agency? I know I've got a lot of friends who are St. Louis City and County Police. The city guys complain to me that they're constantly outgunned, is the way they put it. You know, they are often encountering people who are firing back at them with larger handguns and rounds than they carry. Most of them in the city, for example, are not allowed to carry rifles with them. They have to call in a special unit if that's what they end up facing.
Oh my gosh, and you brought up a great point. Can you imagine being a St. Louis City police officer right now with the lack of support that they have, sometimes the lack of equipment. You bring up a great point. These officers should have rifles, and they should have rifles issued to them as a standard piece of equipment. We have moved past some of the rhetoric, or well, at least those of us in the counties have moved past that rhetoric of these, you know, dangerous and disgusting looking assault rifles. But we have to give these police officers the tools they need to protect themselves and our community. You know, precision instruments like rifles, they give an officer an opportunity to protect themselves when adversaries are shooting at them from 30 yards or farther. It's unconscionable these days that we are not giving police officers the tools that they need to protect themselves and our communities.
You know what this
reminds me? You're exactly right. They do not, St. Louis City police officers, unless you're in a supplies unit, do not have rifles issued to them. It's unconscionable considering how many police officers in St. Louis have been murdered and how many continuously get shot at.
Sure.
I think it's ironic that Donald Rumsfeld, 88 years old, dead this week, right? And I remember his line in a press briefing when he said, "You go to war with the army you have, not the army you want." It's like, what kind of, what is that madness? My goodness. We do want to talk. Hey, we do want to talk about preparing for a crisis incident. And when you and I were talking about this, are you talking about the law enforcement or civilians that support the Second Amendment, or both?
Well, look, I've been a firearms instructor for a long time. I was SWAT commander. I'm familiar with the intricacies of what it takes to be in a critical situation. I think for the CCW holders out there, that, you know, oftentimes they fail to plan for a critical incident. Like our SWAT officers do, they have to have their tools ready. I cannot tell you how many times people will arrive at the range for CCW classes. Their firearms are not functioning properly. They're not cleaned. They're not maintained. They do not have solid ammunition, which is critical. You know, at the moment of truth, you want to make sure your tools and weapons work. And I can't stress that enough because it's not the time to figure out your things don't work. Look at the St. Louis City police officer that was on his way to work a couple of weeks ago and attempted to return fire, and his firearm didn't work. That's unacceptable. It's unacceptable for a law enforcement officer, and it's unacceptable for a civilian who practices CCW in a responsible way.
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, probably one of the most eye-opening experiences I had was I happened, one of my sponsors is the Range St. Louis West, and they invited me out to take a advanced concealed carry course. And I'd taken the CCW course there, and it was eye-opening. I mean, the things that you just, the scenarios you never think through if you ever have to pull your weapon and use it as a concealed carry holder, about additional threats, about you know, other people in the around you, your surroundings. I mean, there's so much more to it than simply going through the 8 hours of training and getting the license to carry. Because at some point, not only is it going to possibly save your life, it might save the life of a law enforcement officer if you have to help out.
Exactly, Mark. And, you know, I've had a lot of people ask me about hosting an advanced firearms course, and I can tell you, if you want one single training recommendation that will prepare you like nothing else, is getting your heart rate up as high as possible. Do run a couple laps, run up and down some steps, be outside. You know, obviously these are outdoor activities before you shoot, but to get that heart rate up and then prepare you to make use of force decisions, because that's what is typically not taught in civilian CCW courses. The reality is when you are faced with a critical situation and or somebody is shooting at you, it's a little bit different than standing, not moving, shooting at a non-moving target.
Yes.
And so to prepare yourself, you have to get that elevated heart rate up to really mentally prepare you to be engaged in some type of critical incident.
Our guest is Jefferson County Sheriff Dave Marshak. And you know what that conversation reminds me of is I rode motorcycles ever since I was a little guy on mini bikes all the way up to full-scale Harley-Davidsons. And I thought I knew what I knew was right. And I took an advanced motorcycle training course. I'm like, and it was a promotion thing. I was, you know, yeah. It was a sponsor. I'm like, yeah, okay, I'll go do it. Dude, I learned so much about what I'd been doing so wrong for so long that I think it actually saved my life. And that's just motorcycles. We're talking firearms here. But anyway, yeah, advanced course in cooking. I'm sure you'll enjoy that more. Whatever it is.
Yeah, it's a good point. You know, Sheriff, I have a question for you because of the scrutiny that every law enforcement agency faces these days in light of, you know, the George Floyd case and all the negative publicity and everything that goes along with it. A lot of people get back to the issue of training within law enforcement. Have you had to modify or change the training you put your officers through as a result of some of these situations we've seen around the country?
You know, Mark, great question. We as an organization have enhanced training for use of force and decision making. That's done in a number of different ways. One of them I just talked about in terms of increase in the heart rate. But also, once that heart rate has been increased, we make our officers use different decision making tools, whether it is math or whether they're shooting at poker cards to create a best hand and a little competition. But to get that brain working while the heart rate is elevated, I think we're kind of unique in that. We understand how the heart rate, when it increases, it makes an impact on your decision-making ability. Mm-hmm. And so we've done some of those things. But I will also tell you this. When it comes to training and enhancing training, enhancing the officer's ability to handle different critical situations, it costs an agency more, not less. Enhancing police training is more expensive, not less expensive. And so we expect our police officers to get better, which we should. I think we have a responsibility to improve their training. It's going to cost our agencies more than less. And I think that's a message that's lost oftentimes in all this defunding rhetoric.
I love it. Yeah, that's a great point. Thank you.
Sheriff, I wanted to just touch on a couple of things. You know, a lot of people on a holiday weekend like we're on want to have cocktails and kick back and enjoy barbecue. But if you have
America, if you have
too much alcohol and you're shooting off fireworks or going floating, we really got to pay attention to that because we don't want any more instances like we have had. My goodness, the rush on the drownings that have been going on. Fireworks are also not good. They don't mix good with alcohol. So you want to speak to any of those items. And then we will talk about speed traps.
Of course. Look, fireworks are safe. Generally speaking, use them responsibly. There are no issues. But what we see, of course, is kind of the things we joke about. You'll see beer, barbecue, and fireworks mixed. And typically those will end up in some type of call to 911 and or a copay. Think about those things. But we joke about it out here because the proverbial, you know, hey, y'all, watch this. And it usually kicks things off. But I can tell you that almost all of our firework injuries in Jefferson County and throughout the region, somehow, some way, alcohol and or narcotics are involved.
And fireworks, they're unpredictable. Let's just say. I had cousins when I was growing up. They shoot bottle rockets at me. They're like, hey, just run back and forth across the yard. And, of course, I wanted to be their friend, so I'm like, sure, I'll do that.
We had bottle rocket wars when we were in 7th and 8th grade.
Smart, very smart.
Explains a lot about Bo, doesn't it? Yeah. we're getting some insight into Bo's childhood. He was tortured.
I'm scarred,
well,
man.
But look, if you think they're disturbed because of that, I guess it says a lot about me.
Because you're laughing at it. Okay, so speed traps?
I'm familiar with bottle rocket wars because I would try and step it up a little bit and use those little whistlers that came out even faster.
Ooh. Nice.
Okay.
Roman candles.
That's next level stuff, man. Speed traps. Does Jefferson County do speed traps on a holiday weekend like they did Memorial Day weekend?
Bo, come on.
Did he get caught?
Come on. Holy smokes. No, we don't do speed traps, Bo. We increase traffic enforcement to make sure the motoring public is safe. Is what you mean?
Well put.
Sorry. That's what it is.
Wow.
That PR training has paid off there, Sheriff.
Bo, we do have additional officers out there to make sure the motoring public is safe, as always, but they're not interested in generating revenue. When I stop somebody, I always ask them, don't you have anything better to do with your money than give it to them? To which everybody replies, of course, yes, they do. So,
well, a lot of people are off Monday.
Yeah.
Okay. Is it going to go all through Monday, Sheriff? Because Monday people are off, too.
Yeah, Monday's a big traveling day. Look, our main goal is to make sure that everybody gets where they need to be. We're not out there stopping motorists to increase revenue, but ultimately, the goal is safety for everybody.
Yeah, it sure is. And Sheriff Dave Marshak, our guest from Jefferson County, listen, we appreciate all you guys do, and please give our best to the men and women who are going to be working this holiday weekend.
I appreciate it, gentlemen. Have a good weekend. 247 years ago, the first Continental Congress met because our country was fed up with where we were heading. Just a note. Have a good weekend.
Yeah, well put, Sheriff. We appreciate your time. Thank you. That's fantastic. Love getting him on here on the Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Hey, listen, we just mentioned fireworks a minute ago. What do you do? There's been a lot of pressure on the fireworks industry this year. They couldn't get supplies. They've had lots of problems. We're going to talk to Rob Sima about that when we come back on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. The Great Outdoors. Mark Cox in here along with Bo Matthews, and as always, produced by the great Carl Middleman.
You're welcome for that.
And yeah, I knew you were going to do this song. I knew
you
were. Yeah, I knew it.
Of course you did.
There's a country song called Fireworks, by the way.
Yeah, but there's also, this was like a huge hit.
I get it. Well, what? Country
and
didn't
that
have any,
wasn't.
I'm sorry. Country didn't have any huge hits. Thanks, Friends
no,
of All Places.
More people know this song than the other one.
Well,
who's the artist of that one, Bo?
Josh Turner.
Okay.
You can find it.
Next year, I promise you we will play Josh Turner's Fireworks.
Sure you will. So this next guest on Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors is actually a get by you, personally.
Yes.
Tell me what happened.
So my daughter has this carnival at school, and every year they have rides and stuff. But one year, the carnival actually had fireworks. And I am not a fireworks guy. I've been to Disney, and I've been downtown to the 4th of July for Fair St. Louis. And fireworks aren't my thing. There have only been two shows that have impressed me with a fireworks display. One was Disney's very last Star Wars Weekends fireworks show. Yes, nerd.
Wow.
Oh, and I also learned this week that Disney is the number two buyer of explosives in the United States, only behind the Department of Defense.
Unbelievable.
And two was this Visitation Academy Carnival. This fireworks at this local school was set to music, and it was professionally done, and I was very impressed. For somebody who doesn't care about fireworks, I was very impressed. And I was talking to my wife this week, and I said, yeah, on the Great Outdoor Show, we should probably talk to somebody about fireworks. And she said, well, why don't you call Rob Sima, since he's the one that has impressed you with the fireworks. And so on the phone with us right now is Rob Sima. This isn't even his real job. This is his hobby.
So wow. It's more than just a guy going to a tent and buying fireworks. He's a guy that really knows what he's talking about. You're talking about the choreographed music fireworks thing, right?
Pyrotechnic show.
Yeah.
Okay. Hi, Rob.
Hi, guys. How's it going?
Good. Have you been busy leading up to the 4th of July weekend?
I have. You're talking about it's my hobby. My wife calls it my hobby gone mad.
I'll bet. Because I don't think anybody, like, I've set off fireworks before. I've never tried to put a show on, but Carl's kind of explaining the fact that you've taken it to a brand new level here.
Yes. Yeah, it's out of hand, that's for sure.
So give us an idea how that works. I mean, is it a computer program? I mean, how in the world do you do this and synchronize it to music? Because isn't there's a delay between the firework going off and actually exploding? That's where I would that would stump me, just like calculus.
Yeah, just a little bit. We in the fireworks industry, we're benefiting from the advances in technology, just like everyone else is. So, I have a computer program. It's a fireworks simulation, and you load the fireworks in, and you give it some information about what they are and how high they go and what's the size of the firework, and the computer is able to figure out how long it's going to take from the time you light it to the time when it actually explodes in the sky.
Wow.
And I can see exactly what the show is going to be like, set the music in advance on my computer.
So the music sequence or the music synchronization is not with the deployment of the firework, it's actually when it's visual.
Well, I can decide. So for some firework, I might want it to be when they're deployed, and for some, I might want it to be when they're visual, when they actually explode.
Wow. And are you responsible for doing fireworks this weekend, besides your own backyard?
I have three shows. So on Friday, I'll be in West Alton with a crew. I'll be at Lake Sherwood, Missouri, shooting in the middle of the lake, which is a really neat show, on Saturday. And then I'll be up in Louisiana, Missouri, shooting out over the Mississippi River on the 4th.
That's outstanding. You've got your hands full. So give us an idea. I mean, we've been hearing all kinds of stories that there have been supply problems this year with fireworks and all that. Have you seen any of that?
Oh, yeah, that's definitely happening. So last year, you'll recall, almost every public show was canceled.
Right.
In fact, you know, I'm a member of the Missouri Pyrotechnics Association. Our show, the Sky Wars Fireworks Championship, which is almost like the U.S. Fireworks Championship. So it's one of the biggest shows in the United States, and it's right here in St. Louis, was one of the only shows that went. So what everybody did is they went to their fireworks tent. Fireworks sales were up 55% last year, which is just huge. And the tents were empty. You know, in the U.S., they're out of almost all fireworks. Most of our fireworks come from China. But when they tried to order the fireworks from China, the factories were closed because of COVID, and so they're behind. And then they finally got the factories open, but then the ports in China are all clogged up because everybody's trying to get, you know, amazingly, things besides fireworks are trying to get out of China. And then when they got to the U.S. ports, the U.S. ports are backed up, and then when they got them off the ships, there's no trucks, and so that's just cascaded right into the tent, and supplies are pretty limited this year.
So in your first experience as a little guy, a little kid with fireworks, were you just amazed from day one, that first lady finger you blew off near your ear or whatever?
Well, I didn't really start there. I had a dad who loved fireworks. He hadn't taken it to where I have, but handed me a lit Salem Light cigarette and a firecracker and said, go out there and light that firecracker.
So, started me up.
I think I was five.
And your,
I mean,
your mom,
yeah,
saying
five.
No.
Yeah, no, she was fine. She was fine. I mean, we used to do all kinds of crazy stuff. And you know, my mom wasn't. She worked at the FBI too. So this was like, you know, kind of crazy. And I remember she came home one time. Me and some buddies are sitting at the kitchen table, and we were taking across apart fireworks, and we had a mound of flash powder in the center of the kitchen table, which I now know would have blown the kitchen off the house.
Oh,
you know,
my goodness.
Didn't know. And we had some wax bubbling on the stove because we're going to use that to make our little, you know, fireworks. And she walked in from work at the FBI and looked at us and said, hey, boys, what are you doing? And we said, oh, we're making cherry bombs. And she looked at the stove and saw the wax bubbling, and she said, you better not ruin my pot.
Oh my gosh. You know, I was at one of those out of Brookdale Farms a few years ago. They had it was like a competition. I don't know if you've been to this, and I forget what, Pyro Night or something like that. I forget what they call it, but they had gasoline bombs. Like, they would send it up in these huge, I mean, it looked like the atomic bomb.
A movie.
Yeah, it did. It was amazing. And you could feel the heat from 1,500 feet away. It was just amazing.
Yeah.
Do you do those too?
That is actually our show. That's my show. I'm the display operator on that show.
Oh!
Boom!
How?
So, and the
small
mic drop.
World.
Yeah, the Missouri Pyrotechnics Association puts that on. It's now called that Sky Wars that I mentioned.
Oh, okay.
At the time, it had a different name. It's been called a couple things over the years. But, Sky Wars, it's at Innsbruck this year on September 25th.
Good to know. So this is where all, like, these guys like Rob here come together, and it's a competition, right?
That's right. We bring in, last year we had people from 51 states that were in town, you know, either working on the show. It's 2 hours of fireworks, and we have a competition. Show us your best, and it's crazy what these guys put up.
So, have you had to modify anything this year because of the supply problems?
No. Well, there's a couple of things. I mean, one, we knew this was coming, and so the guys that are in the competition this year, which we have shooters from Wisconsin, Illinois, and Texas that are coming in for the competition, and then a bunch of other shows, just 10 shows that we do.
Okay.
They knew it was coming, and these guys have been hoarding fireworks for over a year. And then on the professional side, you know, since all the shows were canceled last year, the professional fireworks, the big stuff, you know, they have their supplies from last, so they're fine.
Ah, that's good. So, I mean, maybe it's a little too much inside baseball, but for somebody who's never tried to set up something like this, what kind of cost do you have tied up just in the fireworks? Like, some of these tubes that are set up, I've seen on the barges and stuff in the past, are just massive.
Right. Hundreds of dollars.
Oh, yeah. For one, I mean, one, so we shoot at SkyWars, we shoot some 12-inch shells. So imagine, you know, basketball size shell coming out of the ground. You know, it's buried in the ground 5 feet, the tube we shoot it out of. Wow. And just one of those is $250.
Yeah.
Wow.
And one shot and it's gone. Yeah,
yeah,
no
one
kidding.
One shot and they're, you know, we'll shoot five or six of those at SkyWars. That's bigger than they shoot at the Arch. They only go up to 10 inches down at the Arch.
So as a wannabe guitar player, I look at other guitar players and go, wow, that's amazing. Who do you look at and go, man, that's amazing? What makes you go, wow?
I tell you what, I mean, these guys at SkyWars, you know, I've never competed. I've shot at that event back in 2014 and 2015 before I was helping to organize it. But not as a competitor. And the stuff they do is, you know, it's synchronized down to the hundredth of a second. Every
wow.
note to the music is, you know, tied to an effect, and, you know, the amount of time they spend and just how beautiful it is. I mean, there were people after last year's show, literally with tears in their eyes. It was so beautiful in the way they had timed it to the music, and that's pretty inspiring stuff. You know, one day, of course, my hobby's already mad enough, but maybe I'll take it to another level.
So did you say, are you saying that you did get a big show in during 2020, or are you talking about 2019?
No, we actually shot in 2020. So we shoot out at Innsbruck. We're partnered with Innsbruck for it. We're not in the resort, but we're just outside on a 300-acre piece of property.
Wow.
And we had enough room that we were able to spread out and do social distancing. Of course, we're already outside, which is great. And then, you know, what people wound up doing is they'd have their little pod of, you know, five or six people in their family, and then there'd be 6 feet between them and the next family. And
yeah.
We pulled it off. It was great because I think people really wanted to do something, and so we were able to get it done last September, and this year we should be able to do it again.
Yeah, I think it's going to be crazy this year with everyone's fired up and ready to get back out. And okay, I mean, other than there's really no restrictions anymore, so it should be huge.
Right.
Now, Rob,
yeah, I would think so.
Go ahead.
No, I would think so, definitely.
Now, Rob, if you are an amateur like we all are, and you see
yes.
these stands, what should you steer away from if you want to?
Radio in the Great Outdoors. Mark Cox in here along with Bo Matthews, and as always, produced by the great Carl Middleman.
You're welcome for that.
And yeah,
I knew you were going to do this song. I knew
did
you were. Yeah, I knew it.
Of course you did.
There's a country song called Fireworks, by the way.
Yeah, but there's also, this was like a huge hit.
I get it. Well, what? Country
and
didn't
that
have any,
wasn't.
I'm sorry. Country didn't have any huge hits. Thanks, Friends
no,
of All Places.
More people know this song than the other one.
Well,
who's the artist of that one, Bo?
Josh Turner.
Okay.
You can find it.
Next year, I promise. I promise you we will play Josh Turner's Fireworks.
Sure you will. So this next guest on Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors is actually a get by you,
yes.
personally. Tell me what happened.
So my daughter has this carnival at school, and every year they have rides and stuff. But one year, the carnival actually had fireworks. And I am not a fireworks guy. I've been to Disney, and I've been downtown to the 4th of July for Fair St. Louis. And fireworks aren't my thing. There have only been two shows that have impressed me with a fireworks display. One was Disney's very last Star Wars Weekends fireworks show. Yes, nerd.
Wow.
Oh, and I also learned this week that Disney is the number two buyer of explosives in the United States, only behind the Department of Defense.
Unbelievable.
And two was this Visitation Academy Carnival. This fireworks at this local school was set to music, and it was professionally done, and I was very impressed. For somebody who doesn't care about fireworks, I was very impressed. And I was talking to my wife this week, and I said, yeah, on the Great Outdoor Show, we should probably talk to somebody about fireworks. And she said, well, why don't you call Rob Sima, since he's the one that has impressed you with the fireworks. And so on the phone with us right now is Rob Sima. This isn't even his real job. This is his hobby.
So wow. It's more than just a guy going to a tent and buying fireworks. He's a guy that really knows what he's talking about. You're talking about the choreographed music fireworks thing, right?
Pyrotechnic show.
Yeah.
Okay. Hi, Rob.
Hi, guys. How's it going?
Good. Have you been busy leading up to the 4th of July weekend?
I have. You're talking about it's my hobby. My wife calls it my hobby gone mad.
I'll bet. Because I don't think anybody, like, I've set off fireworks before. I've never tried to put a show on. But Carl's kind of explaining the fact that you've taken it to a brand new level here.
Yes. Yeah, it's out of hand. That's for sure.
So give us an idea how that works. I mean, you got a is it a computer program? I mean, how in the world do you do this and synchronize it to music? Because there's a delay between the firework going off and actually exploding. That's where I would that would stump me just like calculus.
Yeah, just a little bit. In the fireworks industry, we're benefiting from the advances in technology just like everyone else is. So I have a computer program. It's a fireworks simulation. And you load the fireworks in and you give it, you know, some information about what they are and how high they go and what's the size of the firework. And the computer is able to figure out how long it's going to take from the time you light it to the time when it actually explodes in the sky.
Wow.
And I can see exactly what the show is going to be like, set the music in advance on my computer.
So the music sequence or the music synchronization is not with the deployment of the firework. It's actually when it's visual.
Well, I can decide. So for some firework, I might want it to be when they're deployed, and for some, I might want it to be when they're visual, when they actually explode.
Wow. And are you responsible for doing fireworks this weekend, besides your own backyard?
I have three shows. So on Friday, I'll be in West Alton with a crew. I'll be at Lake Sherwood, Missouri, shooting in the middle of the lake, which is a really neat show, on Saturday. And then I'll be up in Louisiana, Missouri, shooting out over the Mississippi River on the 4th.
That's outstanding. You've got your hands full. So give us an idea. I mean, we've been hearing all kinds of stories that there have been supply problems this year with fireworks and all that. Have you seen any of that?
Oh, yeah, that's definitely happening. So last year, you'll recall almost every public show was canceled.
Right.
In fact, you know, I'm a member of the Missouri Pyrotechnics Association. Our show, the Sky Wars Fireworks Championship, which is almost like the U.S. Fireworks Championship. So it's one of the biggest shows in the United States, and it's right here in St. Louis, was one of the only shows that went. So what everybody did is they went to their fireworks tent. Fireworks sales were up 55% last year, which is just huge. And the tents were empty. You know, in the U.S., they're out of almost all fireworks. Most of our fireworks come from China. But when they tried to order the fireworks from China, the factories were closed because of COVID, and so they're behind. And then they finally got the factories open, but then the ports in China are all clogged up because everybody's trying to get, you know, amazingly, things besides fireworks are trying to get out of China. And then when they got to the U.S. ports, the U.S. ports are backed up, and then when they got them off the ships, there's no trucks. And so that's just cascaded right into the tent, and supplies are pretty limited this year.
So in your first experience as a little guy, a little kid with fireworks, were you just amazed from day one, that first lady finger you blew off near your ear or whatever?
Well, I didn't really start there. I had a dad who loved fireworks. He hadn't taken it to where I have, but handed me a lit Salem Light cigarette and a firecracker and said, go out there and light that firecracker.
So, started me up.
I think I was five.
And
I mean,
your mom's saying five. No.
No, she was fine. Okay. I mean, we used to do all kinds of crazy stuff. And you know, my mom she worked at the FBI too. So this was like, you know, kind of crazy. And I remember she came home one time. Me and some buddies are sitting at the kitchen table, and we were taking across apart fireworks, and we had a mound of flash powder in the center of the kitchen table, which I now know would have blown the kitchen off the house.
Oh,
my
goodness.
Didn't know. And we had some wax bubbling on the stove because we're going to use that to make our little, you know, fireworks. And she walked in from work at the FBI and looked at us and said, hey, boys, what are you doing? And we said, oh, we're making cherry bombs. And she looked at the stove and saw the wax bubbling, and she said, you better not ruin my pot.
And oh my gosh. You know, I was at one of those out of Brookdale Farms a few years ago. They had like all the, it was like a competition. Have you, I don't know if you've been to this, and I forget what, Pyro Night or something like that. I forget what they call it, but they had gasoline bombs. Like they would send it up in these huge, I mean, it looked like the atomic bomb.
A movie.
Yeah, it did. It was amazing. And you could feel the heat from 1,500 feet away. It was just amazing. Yeah. Do you do those
too?
That is
too? Actually our show. That's my show. I'm the display operator on that show.
Oh!
Boom!
How?
So, and the mic drop. Small world.
Yeah, so that is, so that's a, the Missouri Pyrotechnics Association puts that on. It's now called that Sky Wars that I mentioned.
Oh, okay.
At the time, it had a different name. It's been called a couple things over the years, but yeah, Sky Wars is at Innsbruck this year on September 25th.
Good to know. So this is this is where all like these guys like Rob here come together, and it's a competition, right?
That's right. We bring in, last year we had people from 51 states that were in town, you know, either working on the show. It's 2 hours of fireworks, and we have a competition. Show us your best, and it's crazy what these guys put up.
So. Have you had to modify anything this year because of the supply problems?
No. Well, there's a couple of things. I mean, one, we knew this was coming, and so the guys that are in the competition this year, which we have shooters from Wisconsin, Illinois, and Texas that are coming in for the competition, and then a bunch of other shows, just 10 shows that we do.
Okay.
They knew it was coming, and these guys have been hoarding fireworks for over a year. And then on the professional side, you know, since all the shows were canceled last year, the professional fireworks, the big stuff, you know, they have their supplies from last, so they're fine.
Ah, that's good. So, I mean, maybe it's a little too much inside baseball, but for somebody who's never tried to set up something like this, what kind of cost do you have tied up just in the fireworks? Like some of these tubes that are set up, I've seen on the barges and stuff in the past, are just massive.
Right. Hundreds of dollars.
Oh, yeah. For one, I mean, one, so we shoot at Sky Wars, we shoot some 12-inch shells. So imagine, you know, basketball size shell coming out of the ground. You know, it's buried in the ground 5 feet, the tube we shoot it out of.
Wow.
And just one of those is $250.
Yeah.
Wow.
And one shot and it's gone. Yeah,
yeah,
no
one
kidding.
Shot and they're, you know, we'll shoot five or six of those at Sky Wars. That's bigger than they shoot at the Arch. They only go up to 10 inches down at the Arch.
So as a wannabe guitar player, I look at other guitar players and go, wow, that's amazing. Who do you look at and go, man, that's amazing? What makes you go, wow?
I tell you what, I mean, these guys at Sky Wars, you know, I've never competed. I've shot at that event back in 2014 and 2015 before I was helping to organize it. But not as a competitor. And the stuff they do is, you know, they are, it's synchronized down to the hundredth of a second. Every
wow.
note to the music is, you know, tied to an effect. And, you know, the amount of time they spend and just how beautiful it is. I mean, there were people after last year's show literally with tears in their eyes. It was so beautiful in the way they had timed it to the music. And that's pretty inspiring stuff. You know, of course, my hobby's already mad enough, but maybe I'll take it to another level.
So did you say, are you saying that you did get a big show in during 2020, or are you talking about 2019?
No, we actually shot in 2020. So we shoot out at Innsbruck. We're partnered with Innsbruck for it. We're not in the resort, but we're just outside on a 300-acre piece of property.
Wow.
And we had enough room that we were able to spread out and do social distancing. Of course, we're already outside, which is great. And then, you know, what people wound up doing is they'd have their little pod of, you know, five or six people in their family, and then there'd be 6 feet between them and the next family. And
yeah.
We pulled it off. It was great because I think people really wanted to do something, and so we were able to get it done last September, and this year we should be able to do it again.
Yeah, I think it's going to be crazy this year with everyone's fired up and ready to get back out. And okay, I mean, other than there's really no restrictions anymore, so it should be huge.
Right.
Now, Rob,
yeah, I would think so.
Go ahead.
No, I would say I would think so, definitely.
Now, Rob, if you are an amateur like we all are, and you see these stands, what should you steer away from if you want to, like, have some fun, but also you see the thing that's like $200 and you're like, oh, I'll get that. That looks fun. And then in 10 minutes later, you're like, that was disappointing. Is there anything commercially available that is fun but not necessarily dangerous?
Yeah, well, you know, any of it can be dangerous if you don't take some safety precautions, of course. You know, you talk about how much stuff costs. You know, fireworks is the only hobby where you literally are burning money. You know, it's
literally. Like our government. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Did I say that out loud?
You did. Happy 4th of July.
Stimulus. Fireworks stimulus.
That's and it's not, yeah, it's not cheap to, if you're, even if you're trying to do it to yourself, other than just some, you know, I was telling somebody, I remember this as a kid. Well, I grew up in southern Ohio, and there weren't fireworks stands everywhere. Sometimes when you travel to states, you could find them somewhere. I used to order them through a magazine. I'd have to mail off, you know, a check or a money order, and then they would arrive at my house in a box with and I would always order, bottle rockets and
snakes.
And, yeah, things like that, sparklers, and
That's crazy.
I remember that. I did that, too.
I just wonder, I mean, is that even still a thing? Can they ship them through the regular mail these days?
No, you can get them shipped. They have to be shipped by, only some carriers will ship it, and they're not going to deliver it to your house. You'd have to go to the depot and pick it up.
Wow.
But they will deliver it to a business address.
Boy, how things have changed. Hey, I tell you, Rob, remind us again where you're going to be shooting on Saturday and Sunday.
On Saturday, I'll be at Lake Sherwood, Missouri, and then I'll be up in Louisiana, Missouri on Sunday.
Great.
That's outstanding. Well, I guess you're probably not one of the guys that did bottle rocket wars like us dorks in this studio, but...
I don't... As a vice president of the Missouri Pyrotechnics Association, I don't recommend you do that, but yeah, I did.
You have credentials? Hold on here, Carl. I didn't know he had credentials. And just real quick before we hang up, of course, the motto is leave it to the pros, but real quick, what is your background?
I'm an IT professional.
Oh,
so I have an IT company.
That helps.
My day gig.
So when the software doesn't work, he knows how to fix it.
So your opinion on the election in November, sir?
I don't know.
Oh, come on now.
No comment on Dominion. No, that would be
no comment.
All right.
We get it. Rob Sima, listen, thanks for your advice. We appreciate you.
You bet. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, you bet. What an interesting guest. I'm telling you.
I do want to talk to him about that, though.
Yeah, or is the fact that his mom worked for the FBI.
Yeah, no kidding.
Oh, it's all coming together.
What a great background. Mm-hmm. That's good
great
stuff.
Show. Happy 4th of July, guys. Thank you very much. Be safe, have fun, and happy birthday, America.
Happy Independence Day, America. Outstanding.
That's Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors. Share the podcast to anybody you know that supports the Second Amendment. We'll see you next week. See you, boys.
Get more at 971talk.com.